If your source of news was the trending topics on Facebook, you would have learned of the Pope's endorsement of a presidential candidate, of Denzel Washington's friendship with Donald Trump, of President Obama's declaration that the 2016 election results need to be investigated and re-voted on next month. Ha ha ha, you say. Fake news is nothing new, you say. These are bugs on the windshield as the world travels the accelerating information highway, you say. Well, on Tuesday, both Google and Facebook announced they would restrict advertising on fake news sites, denying them revenue, admitting that this is a problem. But should they do more? Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook downplayed the significance of all this in statements since the election. But Zeynep Tufekci is an associate professor at the School of Information and Library Science at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She says, in fact, social media was flooded with fake news and information, and Facebook and Google did almost nothing.
It's very difficult because there's a lot of fake newspapers. And if they appear in your feed, for example, Denver Guardian, it's a newspaper that doesn't exist, but it has a website and pretends to be a newspaper. And if it appears on your feed, it looks the same. It's flattened out. There's no indication. Facebook doesn't mark it, doesn't put any, you know, fact-checking next to it, or doesn't even say, look, this is not a real newspaper. It appears in the same box as, say, the Washington Post or New York Times or Wall Street Journal. And all of a sudden, you've got the Denver Guardian that is helpfully informing you, for example, as it did a few days before the election, that the FBI agent who had leaked Hillary Clinton's emails was found dead. Now, the newspaper is fake and the story is also fake, but it did have about 500,000 shares on Facebook. And this was every day, all day, for the past maybe 8-9 months or so. There's been an avalanche of fake newspapers, fake news, and other such, you know, completely false and fraudulent stuff, misinformation that's been spreading around with no intervention by Facebook, unfortunately.
Now, what responsibility does Facebook have to edit? It's not a newspaper. It is more like the phone company. And the phone company has no particular responsibility to edit false calls that are made. But because of the fact that this proliferates so widely, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's denial that this had any impact feels a little disingenuous, wouldn't you say?
Well, two things. Facebook's not exactly like the phone company because it also rearranges your feed. So it's a phone company that chooses who can call you. So in a regular phone company, whoever calls you, your phone rings. In your Facebook news feed, you don't see everything. You only see what Facebook's news feeds allows you to see. And it arranges it. And Facebook polices on its site, say, nudity. There was a lot of women breastfeeding that were taken down, for example. It polices its newsfeed for copyright violations. So there's a lot of things it intervenes.
So the point there is that they have the capability to monitor, yes, and to evaluate.
It's not easy. It's not easy, but if something's shared a million times and seen by tens of millions, it's not hard. So I don't think the expectation is that Facebook chase down every last fake story and intervene around newsfeeds. But since it intervenes every day in your newsfeed already, with some effort and with some attention, it could have done a lot to dampen this. For example, after the election, both Facebook and Google have finally cut off fake newspapers and such from their ad network, which is too little, really, because they could have done this years ago. I don't know why they allowed these fake newspapers to make a lot of money from these ads. In fact, it's so lucrative to do this fake stuff. A BuzzFeed investigation found that there's a single town in Macedonia, you know, in the Balkans, nothing to do with the U.S., where a bunch of enterprising teens were like, hey, wait, we can make money from this fake content because you get money from Facebook for each view. And they started pumping out, you know, fake Trump stories, pro-Trump stories. And they also tried fake pro-Bernie Sanders stories, but that wasn't as lucrative. And I want to be clear, this is one factor among many. I mean, clearly there was a demand for this kind of story and it found a receptive audience. So that's a whole different thing. But opinion formation works over a long time, and having seen this stuff every day because millions of people, most people log on to Facebook at least once a day, according to Facebook stats. Seeing this every day over many, many months is what changed people's mind.
So the takeaway here is Facebook has the capability to monitor this stuff and to eliminate stories, or at least put some sort of stamp on them that indicates that they're fake, and that your call would be for Facebook to do something like that in the future, that it's not only possible, but they need to do it to be responsible.
I don't expect them, and I wouldn't want them, to stamp out every last fake story, because that would be very draconian to try to police that. But you could do a lot. You could dampen it in the algorithm so that it's not seen as many people, because Facebook does it to other content. They're constantly choosing what to show you and what not to show you, so there's no reason it can't also do that. It could invest in human editors and fact checkers. In fact, just before the election, it fired the very few human editors it had on the trending topics section. I mean, it had like a few dozen. And as a result, the trending section was flooded with fake news. So there's nothing unforeseen about this. It might have helped one side more than the other this time. There's no guarantee that it'll always be like that. But I really care more about the fact that we're drowning in absolute fake stuff. This isn't opinion. This is completely made up of whole cloth stuff. And I don't think that's healthy for our democracy at all.
Zeynep Tufekci is an associate professor at the School of Information and Library Science at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Thanks so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.